Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, 16th November 2020, and in our preview of the week, we're discussing the key themes for the FX financial markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. So what have been the main developments in the FX market over the past week, Lee?
I think we've seen emerging market currencies have been outperforming recently. That's on the back of the favorable US election outcome with Joe Biden set to become the next president of the US. And then more importantly, last week as well, we had the results from the Pfizer vaccine trial, and those preliminary results were a lot more favorable than people had hoped for, showing very strong efficacy levels of over 90%. So that's given the market a lot more kind of optimism that we could have an effective vaccine starting to be rolled out early next year, and that would help to improve the outlook for the global economy, particularly towards the kind of second half of next year if that vaccine is rolled out and is successful. So that's made the market participants a lot more kind of optimistic over the outlook for growth going forward. And like I said, the kind of key beneficiaries of these developments have been the emerging market currency so far. We've seen those kind of break to new highs, to the highest level really since 2018 for emerging market currencies against the US dollar. And that's kind of backed up as well by the outperformance of emerging market equity markets as well. So in terms of kind of what have been the best performing emerging market currencies, well, it's been those kind of high beta ones, the kind of high yielding commodity currencies. So Turkish lira, Colombian peso, Brazilian real, and also the South African rand. Whereas if you actually look at the performance of kind of major currencies against the dollar, they haven't performed as well on that basis, that the dollar has been kind of holding up better against the majors. So in terms of things that we've been looking at recently, well, if you look at the kind of flows into emerging markets, those have backed up this recent bullish price action. We looked at the latest daily flow data from the IIF, and those have shown a significant pickup in portfolio inflows into emerging markets, both on the 5th of November, should I say, following the results of the US election, as that became kind of clearer. And then again on the 9th of November, when we had the results from the Pfizer trial, we saw record kind of daily inflows into emerging market stocks and bonds. So that to us is certainly an encouraging sign. Obviously going forward, we need to see whether those flows are sustained, and that would obviously give us more confidence that this bullish trend for emerging markets can continue heading into to year end. And then finally, another kind of factor which has helped improve sentiment towards emerging markets as well more broadly is the favorable potential policy shift that's taking place in Turkey. That has led to quite a sharp reversal for the Turkish lira. It's up by almost 10% against the US dollar over the past week. And that's on the back of the expectation that we could see a kind of pivotal shift in ideology from President Erdogan. Last week, he made a kind of keynote speech in which he kind of signaled very strongly that he wants to be more focused on regaining the trust and credibility for their economic policies to try and bring down the risk premium on Turkish assets. So certainly talking a good game at this point. That was kind of backed up as well by the decision to replace the governor at the Central Bank of Turkey. So market expectations have certainly increased quite dramatically over the past week that we could see a shift towards more conventional monetary policy. Perhaps as early as this week's Central Bank of Turkey policy meeting. And that has helped to trigger this sharp reversal and strengthening of the Turkish lira, which I think probably had become quite notably undervalued a couple of weeks ago. But I think for the Turkish lira to continue to remain at these stronger levels going forward, we need to see kind of concrete policy action to back up expectations of a policy shift. So we're expecting that the Central Bank of Turkey this week to lift the key policy rate up towards 15% from just over 10% right now. That kind of significant hiking of the key policy rate, we think that would help to support the lira and help it to remain at stronger levels. But there's obviously a clear kind of downside risk. If there's any kind of disappointment, if the Central Bank of Turkey doesn't raise rates as much as the market is anticipating, then we could quite quickly see the Turkish lira weaken again very, very sharply. So there's a lot of onus on the Central Bank of Turkey this week to really back up its recent rhetoric with concrete policy action.
And what else should we look out for as this week unfolds, Lee?
Well, I think the other focus this week here in the UK is the ongoing Brexit talks. Again, we've got another potential kind of deadline for the trade talks. The EU has kind of set the UK a deadline at the end of this week to reach a trade deal in the hope that they can have that deal in place for an agreement from the EU leaders at the summit, which is scheduled to take place on the 19th of November. And then following that as well, the EU Parliament as well is scheduled to meet on the between the 23rd and 26th of November. So there's certainly the potential there in terms of timing for a deal to be reached this week and then for it to be kind of signed off and ratified by the Parliament in Europe in the coming weeks, if everything goes as planned. And that is still, I think, the hope. Markets remain kind of optimistic that we are kind of moving closer towards a deal. In terms of kind of recent developments, obviously the election victory for Joe Biden in the US, that's seen as a potential favorable development, which could put more pressure on the government here in the UK to move towards a deal with the EU. And then even more recently, at the end of last week, we also saw some key kind of changes in terms of personnel in the UK government, with Dominic Cummings being kind of replaced and removed as the key kind of key figure in terms of advising the Prime Minister Boris Johnson. So the fact that he's left the government. He was obviously well known as a kind of one of the key figures in terms of the Vote Leave campaign. So he's very much kind of pro Brexit and certainly willing to take the UK out of the EU without a trading deal. So the fact that he has left has also raised kind of optimism that the UK government could be kind of considering softening its approach in terms of the negotiations with the EU, potentially being kind of more willing to accept some compromises to reach a trade deal by the end of this year. So on those side of things, it certainly points towards a deal, but it's still, in terms of the progress on the ground, in terms of the negotiations, still been disappointing. Obviously last week, according to reports, there's still been kind of little progress on a number of the key issues, such as level playing field and also access to UK fishing water. So we're still very much in a very critical stage of the talks. Both sides ultimately will need to make compromises to get a deal through before the end of this year. And I think the markets are still going to watch that very closely, given the deadline this week. That could lead to some more certainly larger moves in the pound if we were to see the talks reach an agreement. Then obviously that could lead to a bigger move higher for the pound at the end of this week. Whereas if we still see no breakthrough in those talks, perhaps market participants at that point may start to become a little bit more pessimistic over the prospect of a last minute deal, and that could open up more downside risk for the pound. So our anticipation is that certainly that there is a risk of kind of greater volatility for the pound in the week ahead. And we just still continue to stress, though, that even though kind of Brexit could become more of a focus for markets, It's obviously happening at a time when the UK economy is still in a very difficult situation. We saw last week growth in the UK picked up again in the third quarter, where we saw growth expand by a record amount of just over 15%. But the disappointing aspect still is that the UK is still kind of clearly lagging other major economies as they kind of recover from the COVID shock. The level of GDP in the UK is still around 10% below the end of last year. And as we all know, the UK economy is likely to contract again in the fourth quarter, because the government has obviously taken measures to put in place a new lockdown during November. And obviously the risk is that could be extended as well further into to December as well. So it's still pointing towards a very kind of very weak economic performance here in the UK. And I think while that's the case, there's a lot of pressure still on the government as well to try and reduce further downside risks to the UK economy from Brexit uncertainty. So we certainly hope that that will also put pressure on the government to reach a trade deal with the EU going forward. In terms of obviously the outlook for the UK could improve. Obviously that would depend probably more not just on Brexit talks and a trade deal potentially, but also obviously what happens in terms of the vaccines as well going forward. That's something which could allow a greater return to more normality here in the UK if we were to see positive progress on those vaccines. But even though we are kind of optimistic over the potential for vaccines next year, as we saw from the Central Bank Governor Bailey last week, he was kind of cautiously optimistic, believing the kind of vaccine news does help to reduce some uncertainty over the outlook for the UK economy. But even still, I think the Bank of England have still very much kind of committed to keep this loose policy in place, even if the economy starts to recover more strongly next year. They've already kind of laid their cards on the table by expanding the quantitative easing program by $150 billion in 2021. And obviously, if downside risks increase from here and the recovery isn't as strong as hoped, then the door is still very much open next year for Bank of England to implement even more policy easing. So given that kind of backdrop, we think, yes, if we do get a trade deal, the pound could go higher, but we'd be kind of skeptical over whether the pound can be kind of sustained at its stronger levels if the UK economy is still very much kind of underperforming compared to elsewhere.
Thanks very much for that insight, Lee. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.